Shalom and good morning to you, saints of God. A beautiful morning to you wherever you are in any parts of the world. My name is Brother Gideon, and I will this week be the person who will be sharing with you on the daily devotion through the help of the Holy Spirit, who is always our comforter. I pray that whatever it is that the Lord will lay upon our hearts will be a blessing to you, and also a blessing to myself who will be speaking. I trust that we had a beautiful past week, and for everyone, I trust that you had a beautiful fellowship in God's presence. It's another week, and we are all heading out, starting our week, trusting the Lord to give us a great week. In this week, sharing, I would like to share with us on a short title. It's just going to be short clips each time. Hopefully, I'll try to keep it as short as possible. On time, life and purpose. And I started to get this thought based on first a documentary that I had watched, and I want to, with the help of God, get you into thinking about this as well. I know that as people of the kingdom of God, we are looking forward to Christ physically coming to take over the kingdom of this world. We know that we already belong to that kingdom, and once we are born again into that kingdom. We know that Christ is our King, and we are going to crown Him King of Kings. We look forward to that grand event. That is, we have a purpose. We have a reason for why we are here on earth. However, I wanted to get us to think more deeply about this purpose, about life, about the difference between time and life. Because sometimes we get easily carried away. I believe that as individuals, we are all chasing something, not just people who are belonging to the kingdom of Christ. Everybody is chasing something. The question is, what is the value of what we are chasing? Is it a purposeful chase? And in line with that thought, I would like for us to start to look at Ecclesiastes, which, of course, when you start to look at time and life and purpose from the viewpoint of someone who is still looking for where to put their feet, there is no better place to look, or there is no better example of that than Solomon, the preacher. And if we read through that book of Ecclesiastes, I will see if I can just read a couple, highlight a couple of things, because it's a long read here. It says that the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit had a man of all his labor which he takes under the sun? What is the value in the chase, is essentially what he's saying there. He says that one generation passes away, and then another generation comes. The earth, however, remains forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down. meaning that one day comes, one year comes, and then one month comes. And that is how time is being spent on earth. Verse 8, if I just jump to that, all things are full of labor. Man cannot order it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, not the ear filled with hearing. And, you know, when you look at the thinking of Solomon here, first, Solomon was the wisest man and the richest man in his time, as documented by the Bible and also a trusted source of history. He was a man that achieved a level of wealth, level of class, if we put it that way, that attracted the elites of his time to come and, you know, study him, to come and look at him. He was an enigma on his own. He was someone that rose to the top, not just of his career, but of what you would call wealth and life and anything else that you can think about. So, because of this level of satisfaction or achievement, not satisfaction, but achievement, he started to think, he started to wonder, what else is there to life? Now, the only reason that someone goes into meditation like that is, even though they had achieved everything there is to achieve in life, even though they had risen to the top, the pinnacle of what most people admire or will look at, everybody in his time would have looked at him and thought, oh, what a happy man. Oh, what a fulfilled man. Oh, what a, if my life could only be half as much as his. However, the only reason that Solomon goes into this sort of meditation and starts to say things like this is because he had a feeling of emptiness that comes from all this that he has achieved. And that is why he continues to say that the eye is not satisfied of seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Essentially saying that there is no satisfaction in all the things he has explored. And Solomon explored a lot of things. In verse 16, I am come to great estate, it says, I have gotten more wisdom than all they that were before me in Jerusalem. So he went into wisdom. He says, I had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. I gave my heart to wisdom. He acquired all the learnings that he could. So in terms of education, in terms of awareness, whether societal awareness, whether literary awareness, he was there. He gave himself to everything. And then he says that I gave my heart to know wisdom, to know madness, to know folly. So he gave himself to even madness, the things that you would say is madness, complete folly. Why did you do that? And we see people explore those things today. A lot of people have different ambitions that they have because they feel that if I could only do this, then I will find fulfillment in life. Or some people's ambition is, I want to climb Mount Kilimanjaro or the tallest mountain in the world. If I could only do that before I die, I know I will quench this nagging cry of fulfillment, of whether I feel fulfilled, whether I feel satisfied. Essentially, man is groping in the dark looking for satisfaction. In chapter 2, verse 1, Solomon is saying that, I said to my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, saying that I'm going to throw mirth at you, I'm going to throw pleasure at you to check if this will satisfy you, my heart. I'm going to try pleasure and see if this is where the answer is. He said, I said of laughter, it is mad and of mirth, what does it do? It came to a conclusion that even laughter, what we sometimes call happiness, doesn't really achieve much. It doesn't really answer that question. He says in verse 3 that he gives his heart to wine, you know, to more wisdom, to continue to lay hold on folly. Till I might see what was that good for the Son of Man. So he's going on an exploration of his life, so that out of that adventure he can come out and say, oh man, this is what you should invest your time in. This is what you should focus on. This is what matters. This is where value is. This is what is valuable in what you were all chasing. I found the answer. So that is what he's saying in chapter 2 there. He's exploring everything. Till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. He's trying to explore the things that man should give himself to utterly, completely, to say this is what has value. He went into great works. He went into throwing himself into career, built houses, planted vineyards. You know, sometimes the heart deceives us and tells us that the level you are right now, if only you can push harder and become richer than you are right now, maybe then you will feel fulfilled. You answer that question. Oh, it's because you're probably not, resting enough. You're not vacationing. You're not doing this or that. I'm not, you know, speaking to any of those things being good. I believe that we should, you know, within the confines of scriptures, explore all there is to life. The scripture says that God has given us all that is that we have for life, all that we need for life, and also for godliness. But all of that is in the confines of godliness, of scripture. So Solomon continues this exploration so that he could come up with something. And then, unfortunately, he continued to remain unsatisfied, and the question of what man should do with his life remained unanswered to Solomon. And then the question remains that what else is there to life? You know, the wisdom of Solomon, the height of his pleasure that he achieved, his achievements in life, you know, drove him to nurse these reflections that what is the meaning of life? I believe that sometimes we meditate as well, as we sit down in the comfort of our space, in sometimes in the things that we go through in life. There is no person who doesn't have ups and downs in life. That question sometimes goes through your mind. What is the meaning of life? But is that the right question to ask? Is that the right approach? We will continue to look at this in the subsequent sharing this week, trusting that the Lord will be gracious to us. The Lord bless you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We bless your name for the opportunity and the grace that you have given us today to be able to meditate and fellowship together with people who are part of a kingdom. I pray, Father, that you continue to help us and let grace be given to us. I pray that you open the door for your children as they head out there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.